those in the right wing of the Republican Party who are saying enough is enough. Stop funding and fueling this war. Let's find a solution.
And Medea, I wanted to ask you, we never hear, we almost always, when the war in Ukraine is referred to, the Russian invasion as an unprovoked invasion. We're hearing the same now about the Hamas attack on Israel, that it was unprovoked. You have a clear stand on this issue.
Well, absolutely. It's ridiculous to say it's unprovoked. And let's remember, unprovoked doesn't mean that it's justified. We say that this is a provoked invasion, that the United States and NATO, whether it's from violating their agreement not to expand NATO eastward and now surrounding Ukraine, whether it's the U.S. involvement in the internal affairs to be supporting a coup in 2014 that overthrew a democratically elected government that was had good relations with Russia and put one in that was anti-Russia, or whether it was the funding of anti-Russian groups that Victoria Nuland, the Undersecretary of State, crowed about the U.S. spending $5 billion to create this kind of civil society. The U.S. has been heavily involved in trying to shape Ukraine to be a pro-Western, anti-Russian government. And of course, the U.S. would never tolerate having an anti-U.S. military alliance on its borders. We saw what happened in the 1962 Russian missile crisis. And then there we should learn from the lessons of JFK, who negotiated and came up with a compromise with Khrushchev, and also said, when you're in a conflict with a nuclear-armed country, never leave them with the option of either a humiliating retreat or the use of a nuclear weapon. And that's exactly what we are setting up in the case of Ukraine. We should be very, very concerned about more funding of this, because it is so dangerous. We've already sent in cluster bombs. We sent in depleted uranium. We're sending in longer-range missiles. It will be inevitable, if this keeps going, that it will affect directly a NATO country, which will invoke Article 5 of all of NATO countries getting more directly involved, U.S. troops getting involved, and increase the likelihood of the use of nuclear weapons. We must stop the military madness.
Barbara Smith, I wanted you to get your response to Medea. Yesterday in the afternoon, you were at an anti-occupation protest. That was anti-Israeli occupation of Palestine. As Medea talks about Ukraine, your final thoughts.
So many things that were just said are about what should happen in an ideal world. Sadly, we do not live in that ideal world. We're dealing with Putin. You just said, Medea, that what we should be guarding against is a nuclear conflagration, because if we don't go to go to peace talks, why are we afraid of nuclear war? It's because Putin is a monomaniacal, autocratic, imperialist ruler. That's why. And if one of the things we do in the Ukraine Solidarity Network is that we are in direct contact with people on the ground in Ukraine. Also, we are in direct contact with dissident Russians who don't live in Russia, because if they did, they would either be in prison or dead. But these are socialists. These are people with whom we share politics. I'm a socialist. The Combahee River Collective was a socialist, a black feminist socialist statement, or a black socialist feminist statement. We listen to the people who are actually on the ground in those nations.
Barbara Smith, we're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue our conversation and post it at democracynow.org. Barbara Smith, author, activist, scholar, part of the Ukraine Solidarity Network, and Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the anti-war group Code Pink. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And Amanda Smith from Nashville.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
For me, there'd be no sunshine if ever we should part. Cry, cry, darling. That's what I do, 'cause you're the one that's in my heart. Shadows creep, I just weep all night. I know you know how much I'd miss you if ever we should part. Cry, cry, darling. That's all I do, 'cause you're the one that's in my heart.
street, they're giving out free gasoline. And nobody's being mean, just getting their souls redeemed. It's a quarter past midday, but there's still time to make conversation in the checkout line. Maybe it's a sign that we're in decline. But I don't care about good times past, 'cause they can never last. And all the glory got faded fast, like the midday sun. Can still get down. We'll throw a cemetery rave and dance like fiends, drinking crushed orange soda with the Roman queen who made such a scene back in 1915. But I don't care about good times past, 'cause they couldn't last. And all the glory got faded fast, like the midday sun. Well, that's everything to be fair, but your love don't seem to care. And I know it will still be there once.
My darling's flown and she's gone to stay. All I got now is yesterday, and I don't know what to do. Well, I guess I'll go downtown and see just what downtown can do for me. Maybe set my lonesome free, or maybe let me go. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye. Well, I wonder how long it can go on, how long I'll sing the same old song. I wonder which one done us wrong, which one forgot to try. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye.
WRCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
I just got a text asking me to approve a bank transfer I didn't make. I bet you get messages like this too. So much of our lives are online today, from email to banking and everything in between. To make sure my information was protected, I checked out CISA's Secure Our World website for simple steps to stay safe online. Now I know how to protect myself from scammers, and you can learn too. Go to CISA at CISA.gov/secure our world.
Hi, this is Greg Keeler with Blue Rodeo here, 88.3 FM, WRCT, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hear my song as I ride along. I'm just a happy roving cowboy. Let me sing my song till they call me home to a land beyond the blue.
Hello there, neighbor. It's health and happiness time with the old lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams, Miss Audrey, and all the drifting cowboys. Yes, a singing sensation of the country. Hank Williams is back again for a little visit and some good news that'll make you mighty glad you tuned in.
I ain't got a dime just to waste in my time. I'm just a happy roving cowboy. Let me sing my song till they call me home to a land beyond the blue.
Yes, neighbors, here's one of the things that makes your radio worthwhile. You're always glad to spend a little money on the juice when this fella comes calling around. It's our old friend, Hank Williams.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you a lot. And welcome, friends and neighbors, to another Health and Happiness Show. We hope you all are good and healthy and happy and feeling good. All the boys and myself, Miss Audrey, Grant Turner, we all here to try to make you happy for the next few minutes. I'd like to start off here with a song that I recorded here not long ago. I think it's one of the prettiest ones I've ever recorded. Boys, if you will, a little tune called The Lost Highway. in stone, all alone and lost. For a life of sin, I have paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, there goes another boy down the lost highway. Just a deck of cards and a jug of wine, and a woman's lies makes a life like mine. For the day we met, I went astray. I started rolling down that lost highway. Just a lad, nearly 22. Neither good nor bad, just a kid like you. And now I'm lost, too late to pray. Lord, I paid the cost on the lost highway. Now, boys, don't start your rambling around on this road of sin, or you're sorrow bound. Take my advice, or you curse the day started rolling down that lost highway.
Yes.
Friends, right now, here's our good friend again with a message for you. So if you will listen to him just a minute, we'll be right back.
COVID-19 is a severe lung infection. Trust the American Lung Association for science-based public health information, especially for the 36 million Americans who live with lung disease. We have resources to protect your lung health, access expertise from medical professionals, and peer-to-peer support through our online communities. Visit lung.org for daily updates or call 1-800-LUNG-USA.
Well, here we are again. Friends, we got a little song here now that's got an awful lot of good sense in it. Really good one. Audrey and myself are going to sing it for you. And I think you'll agree with me, it's got an awfully good title. Title of it is, I Want to Live in Love Always.
I want to live in love under the stars above. I want to hold you close to my heart. You gave me hopes anew when I was sad and blue, and nothing's gonna keep us apart. I sang a lonely song until you came along. I'm heading for the bright sunny day, and I'm telling you what this love will do. I wanna live and love always. And pray that lucky day that you came walking right into my life.
I'm gonna change my plans, cause I'm a different man. I'm through with all troubles and strife. I used to feel so bad, but now I feel so glad. I'm heading for the bright sunny day, and I'm telling you what this love will do. I wanna live and love always. I wanna live and love under the stars above. I wanna hold you close to my heart. You gave me hopes and you when I was sad and blue. And nothing's gonna keep us apart. I sang a lonely song until you came along. I'm heading for the bright sunny day, and I'm telling you what this love will do. I wanna live and love always.
Yes, sir, there it is. I want to live in love always. Here's our friend again with a message for you. So listen to him, will you?
You've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You have to carefully monitor your health for the rest of your life. And you have an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease.
Cut. Take two. Action.
You've been diagnosed with a new purpose, to fight for the amazing life you made for yourself. To look that risk of heart disease square in the face and say, no, not me. You've been given a new opportunity to live. Get started at nodiabetesbyheart.org.
Jerry Rivers, boil them cabbage. Nah, he didn't get a chance to boil them. He just got to stew them a little bit on that round there. Friends, right now, it's hymn time on the Health and Happiness Show. Gonna ask Miss Audrey and all the boys, our announcer, Grant Turner, we're gonna all gather around the mic here, sing you an old-time shout tune. I know all you folks will enjoy. I hope you will, at least. I know all you folks know the song and like it. Jerry, if you lead us off here, all of us. Little tune called I'll Have a New Body, I'll Have a New Life.
On that resurrection morning when all dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Won't it be so bright and fair when we meet our loved ones there? I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home, love eternal, with a redeeming God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain,
there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. When old Gabriel blows his trumpet and we walk the streets of gold, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. No more pain, worry, sorrow in this wicked world of sin. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of eternal with the redeeming God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, dear brother, are you living for that day when Christ shall come? I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Graves all bursting, saints a-shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home, love eternal, with a redeeming God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Thank you all. Thank you an awful lot, Terry. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. Hope all you friends enjoyed that one. Now, folks, we got a boy here that picks an awful lot of guitar, we think. We want you to listen to him for a little spasm here. Bob McNett with his electric guitar and a little tune called Fingers on Fire. Bob, friends, the old clock has caught up with us. We're going to have to get out of here. The good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, as Hank Williams saying, we'll see you again for long. Until then, Jerry, let's go see Sally.
Darling, let's turn back the year and go back to yesterday. Let's pretend that time has stopped and I didn't go away. We had our love to make us happy. It wasn't meant to bring us tears. Love like ours should never die. So darling, let's turn back the years. It wasn't meant to bring us tears. Love like ours should never die. So darling, let's turn back the years.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
We'll be right back.
On the Black World Media Network, this is Book Bundle, a review of literary works in varying media formats. Here is the reviewer, Professor Todd Stephen Burroughs.
I wanted to read to you what I got the other day from Publishers Weekly. It was their newsletter, and the newsletter is titled, Book Banning Was Front and Center at This Year's ALA. So, under the headline, quote, "We are not going to let this happen," unquote, the newsletter item reads, "As this year's American Library Association annual conference, the fight against book bans was front and center as librarians shared strategies to resist censorship and an all-star lineup of speakers, including Judy Blume, Amanda Gorman, and Ibram X. Kendi, affirmed the importance of the freedom to read. For Blume, who also owns a bookstore in Florida, this fight hits close to home, remarking that, quote, "Not a week goes by that I don't have people in the store who are teachers, who are librarians, and who are being hit with this. We are not going to let this happen," end quote. Slowly but surely, more publishers are intervening. The New Press is pushing back against Florida's Stop Woke Act, which the nonprofit publisher argues has, quote, "chilled the distribution of its books on the state's campuses." Meanwhile, Penguin Random House, which recently participated in a lawsuit against a Florida school district over banned books, has also had a busy week internally, launching a new Pop Comics imprint, merging two of its children's imprints, and extending a buyout offer to PRH employees of a certain age. So that's a little bit of the newsletter done by Publishers Weekly. I really enjoy it, and I was glad that I was able to share that with you.
That was Book Bundle, a review of literary works in varying media formats, presented by reviewer, Professor Todd Stephen Burroughs, journalist, historian, and popular culture enthusiast.
You're listening to the Black World Media Network. I'm Todd Stephen Burroughs, and this is Book Bundle. I've got a book review today from my friend Dr. Jared Ball of Morgan State University. He has the second edition out of The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power, the second edition. I'm very excited about it. America is a land of myths. I mean, as you see, our popular entertainment is filled with them. You know, one of the myths that Americans tell in these popular entertainment, one of my favorite types of myths is that someone can show up, you know, in a superhero costume and someone's aunt or girlfriend or friend won't recognize them in a superhero costume, right? These are the kind of myths that we tell about ourselves, right? Because these myths are about how we see each other and people see what they want to see. That's what Clark Kent said to Lana Lang in the new Superman and Lois TV show when he revealed his identity to her. She goes, "Well, how come I didn't see it?" And he said, "People see what they want to see." Well, Dr. Paul's book, The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power, now in its second edition by Paul Grave, talks about that we see what we want to see in the Black community. And one of the myths that has grown in the Black community is that we have this $1.2 trillion buying power. Now, Dr. Ball says that buying power is actually the ability to purchase goods and services mostly produced or owned by non-Black Americans, right? So he's challenging this myth, saying that Black dollars cannot become capital because it's about wealth, not income. You know, this whole myth about a Black national gross domestic product, I mean, that's not real, because GDP is not income, and that's what we have. We have income. And he exposes all of the studies and all of the numbers and all of the companies behind the numbers and how fraudulent all these people are. And unfortunately, not only does he show the fraudulence of these American institutions, which are promoting this myth of Black buying power for themselves so they can make more money, right, by marketing to us. He also, I hate to say it, as a lover of the Black media, he also shows how the Black media is complicit from John H. Johnson up to the present in perpetuating this myth. Why? Because Black media wants more advertising from Black corporations. So they take this myth of Black buying power and they promote it so that they can benefit. He even goes after Dr. Amos Wilson, which really put a couple of tears in my eyes because Amos Wilson is such a beloved figure, a beloved intellectual figure in the Black community. But he points out that these numbers where we're getting all this stuff from, including Amos Wilson, they're just not correct. And not only do we have a Black media that's complicit, we even have a white media that's complicit. One of my favorite parts of the book is when Dr. Ball calls National Public Radio and challenges them on some statistics they used. And the reporter said, well, you know, we couldn't afford to go buy the report to read and analyze the numbers ourselves. So we used the press release that the numbers company brought out. So we have all of these partners in perpetuating this myth. And Dr. Ball says that the myth is perpetuated because it allows us to focus on something that's not true, something that we can blame ourselves for. You know, we're not spending money properly, et cetera, instead of dealing with the real issue. What's the real issue? We don't have wealth. Why don't we have wealth? Because of capitalism. Capitalism has set up an evil system that has denied us wealth through a system called white supremacy. But we don't focus on that because we blame the victim because of buying. But buying is not changing the system. Changing the system is changing the system. In the second volume, Dr. Ball has a new chapter on something that went pretty quickly as a fad in Black America, and that was cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency was marketed to Black communities as a way of Black self-determination, a new version of the old Black capitalism that Nixon marketed as a counterpoint to the Black power movement. And so he exposes the fraudulence of cryptocurrency. I mean, it's a very painful book to read. I'm really glad that it exists, but I have to admit it was quite painful to read, and I can only wish that he does more of these. So I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I'm going to actually list suggestions for the third volume and beyond, because I think Dr. Ball needs to make this argument strongly and more clearly with more examples and maybe more chapters, because we've got to deal more with the individual versus the collective, because Dr. Ball is talking about the collective of Black America. So here are my suggestions. I think he needs to talk about how employment is not power. Even employment at Black banks, which as Ball correctly describes, are small institutions dealing with small amounts of money. Another thing to be added to future volumes. The forming of economic co-ops as ethnic groups allegedly do or did, at least in the 20th century, allegedly folks created co-ops that allowed them to buy every fruit and vegetable stand in New York City and things like that. Even if they did that, even if that's what happened, that is not the same as power. Guaranteed income, something that my mayor in Newark, New Jersey, Roz Baraka, is looking into, is not power. And finally, it's become very popular to talk about Sandy Darity and reparations, and California just did this huge 1,000-page reparation report, and the wealth gap seems to be the primary thing that people talk about in terms of reparations. I also think that Dr. Ball needs to go into reparations and talk about how reparations, particularly as defined with the wealth gap, that's not power. Again, America is a land of myths. So I just want to point out a final myth that kind of ties into to what Dr. Ball and other people are talking about. The issue is that capitalism is being fed to us as salvation. You know, I've done things with Grant Cardone and Anthony Robbins, and they literally talk about if you made money, you would solve problems that are in your community. You know, you would be able to fund things. You'd be able to fund more scholarships. You'd be able to fund more food banks. In fact, Anthony Robbins talks about how his goal is to feed on Thanksgiving 1 billion people. Now, I would never be against feeding 1 billion people. Definitely not. But feeding 1 billion people on one day is not transforming the system that leaves people hungry the next day. And until we deal with that reality, we will continue to be in the dream world that mass media and corporations and marketing firms have constructed for us. For the Black World Media Network, I'm Todd Stephen Burrows.
That was Book Bundle, a review of literary works in varying media formats, presented by reviewer, Professor Todd Stephen Burrows, journalist, historian, and popular culture enthusiast.
solidão me dá.
Hi, this is God. Whenever I'm in Pittsburgh, which is always because I'm omnipresent, I listen to every radio station at the same time, including WRCT.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, you can't say elite U.S. news media aren't on the story of the federal indictment of Robert Menendez, Democratic chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But articles like the New York Times's "As Menendez's Star Rose, Fears of Corruption Cast a Persistent Shadow" represent media's embrace of a kind of great man of history theme. The story seems to be mostly about the political fortunes of one individual and the huge numbers of less powerful people that have been impacted by those compromised decisions are at best a kind of backdrop. When media try to tighten it, it can get weirder still. That New York Times piece headline included the idea that, quote, "The New Jersey Democrat broke barriers for Latinos, but prosecutors circled for decades before charging him with an explosive new bribery plot," close quote. Come again? If elite media's lesson from the Menendez indictment is that some people over-favor their personal friends and some people like to hoard gold bars, well, that's a storyline that leads nowhere. It calls nothing into question beyond the individual actors themselves. Is that the kind of coverage we need? What does it even have to do with foreign policy? Stephen Zunes is a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. His most recent book was co-authored with Jacob Mundy. It's called Western Sahara: War, Nationalism, and Conflict Irresolution. It's out now in a revised and updated edition from Syracuse University Press. We will talk with Stephen Zunes about what's at stake in the Menendez indictment, beyond Menendez's political fortunes. But first, a quick look back at some recent press. Listeners may know that the FCC has been ineffectual for some time now because it's been short of full staffing. Big media players torpedoed, with the most scurrilous of means, the nomination of public interest advocate Gigi Sohn. But eventually, Joe Biden's nominee Ana Gomez was sworn in as the fifth commissioner. In the wake of that, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel has now announced that the agency is going to be an active player again. At the National Press Club this week, Rosenworcel said that the FCC will vote on a notice of proposed rulemaking at its next meeting coming up in mid-October, and they're going to center the role of Title II. That's the part of federal communications law that gives the agency the power to even go about overseeing corporate control of the Internet, to push against price gouging, anti-privacy moves, access throttling, the whole range of things that make people hate their internet service providers and make the internet a less hospitable arena for activism and organizing. And that's before you even get to whether they're allowed to shut off service during national crises like COVID. The FCC, under the sway of corporations and their lobbyists, abandoned that Title II responsibility years ago under former chair Ajit Pai, appointed by Donald Trump, based mainly on his career as a lawyer for Verizon. With Title II invigorated, the FCC can engage net neutrality rules, those that prevent ISPs from slowing access for those that don't pony up and speeding it along for those that do, all of which machinations we as end users may not even be aware of, but that absolutely affect what we see,